I'm so big. I'm like the biggest girl that ever fucking lived. Like when I went as Snow White and the little girl was like, that's a big princess. That's just like that. That's me. I'm like the biggest 7-year-old Snow White. I'm like, take a seat with Chris Hansen right there, bitch. Snow White. Where like I catfish as a 7-year-old and the guy shows up and he's like, she's 6 feet tall. And I'm just like, come in. It's me, Beckany. Because that's a name. I don't know. Beckany. Maybe it's a name. I don't know. It's me, Beckany. I'm beckoning you in. I'm definitely not going to kill you. And then, like, it's me. And he's like, that's a big bitch. And I'm like, what do you mean, mister? Don't judge me based on my size, you sizes son of a bitch. And anyway, hi guys, what's up? It's me, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back with another Drunken Dangerous. Where did that come from? The world may never know. You certainly won't. And today we're going to read some more wonderful, fascinating, classic Grimm's Fairy Tales. I'm high as fuck. Are you? I don't know. Let's find out with, I guess, you. You find out with yourself. I won't know unless you tell me. It's your business. You know, I mean, I'm not asking. Don't tell me. Keep it to yourself. Keep it between you and yourself. Anyway, we're going to read more of these fairy tales. How have you been doing in the land of COVID 2020? Me personally, I'm feeling more like a human mole person than ever. I'm probably about feeling 80% human mole person, which is already past my previous all-time high of 69% human mole person, because of how often I like to go down. Yes, that's a sex pun. I'm sorry. My rate of horrible punning has also increased. And with that in mind, let's continue on to our first story. I hope that this is fantastic. I can't make you a joke about this title. It's so bland. There's not even a joke I can make. Like, I could try, but anything I try for, I feel like would be way cringier than anything. So I'm just going to say, the summer and the winter garden. Like, okay. What is that? That's so bland. That's like a fucking saltine of titles. Okay. It's iceberg lettuce. It's just there. All right. The summer and the winter garden. Ugh, I'm snoring already. Maybe this will be like the one you sleep to, you guys. It's not funny. As if any of them are funny. But it's not that loud. It's just kind of, we're sleeping together at the summer and winter garden. I say this now. I'm sure people will be burning to death by the end. But one can only hope. It's as tame as the title suggests. The summer and the winter garden. Let's find out together, shall we? A merchant wanted to go to a fair and asked his 3 daughters what he should bring back for them. The eldest said, a beautiful dress. The second, a pair of pretty shoes. The third, a rose. But it was difficult to find a rose because it was midwinter. And they did not yet have grocery stores in the Midwest. However, since the youngest was the most beautiful daughter and looks are the most important thing in Grimm's fairy tale world, because fuck any other quality a human can have, gimme looks, gimme, gimme looks. because the youngest is the most beautiful and therefore most valuable human, because nothing other than looks are important. Yeah, I'm salty. That's some fucked up shit, man. That's some fucked up shit to teach. And was so extremely fond of flowers. The father replied that he would see whether he could find a rose and make every effort to do so. I like that I chose that voice for her. I feel like it's fitting. When the merchant was returning home after the fair, he carried a splendid dress for the eldest and a pair of beautiful shoes for the second daughter. But he hadn't been able to obtain a rose for the youngest daughter. Each time he had entered a garden and asked for roses, the people had made fun of him and asked him whether he really believed that roses grew in snow. Apparently they didn't know about greenhouses at this point. That's all right. Go off, bitches. Go off. Fucking shame, man. Damn. Some fucked up shit. He was just asking. You're allowed to ask. He was very sorry about that. And as he was pondering whether there might be something that he could bring home for his favorite child, he reached a castle, and there was a garden on one side in which it was half summer and half winter. Ooh, it's some magical shit going on. On one side, the most beautiful small and large flowers were blooming, and on the other side, everything was bare and deep snow lay on the ground. The man got off his horse, and since he noticed an entire hedge full of roses on the summer side, he was glad and went over there. Please tell me he doesn't just pick them. That motherfucker is asking for a curse. That is how you get a curse. That is how you are cursed. For real. Like, in regular day-to-day life, if you're, like, walking by someone's property and a fucking rose is hanging over the fence, you might be like, you know, I'm going to take this rose and hopefully you don't notice it was hanging over the fence anyway. But this motherfucker is going to just, like, walk his happy ass, like, over the fence and steal some shit. In this fucking fairy tale forest where little men fucking curse you for not giving him cake from your pocket. Like, you're gonna steal shit? Nothing good has ever happened in Fairy Tale Land from stealing something. Like, ever. Unless, like, an animal, an enchanted animal is helping you, do not steal that thing. If an enchanted animal is helping you, it's probably supposed to be happening. If you're doing it by yourself, you're the villain. Turn back. Don't do it. That's my opinion. We'll read on, maybe good things will happen, and I'll just look like a fucking idiot, like a bigger idiot than normal, not just like the normal amount, like the base level idiocy that we've all come to expect with these and all my other forays into this kind of medium. Okay. So he's gonna steal shit because he's stupid. Then he plucked a rose. Of course he did. I didn't even read ahead, and it was immediately, of course, the first fucking thing he did. Got on his horse and began riding away. He had ridden only a short distance when he heard something running behind him and panting. So he turned around and saw a large black beast that shouted, "Return my rose to me or I'll kill you! Return my rose to me or I'll kill you!" I mean, honestly, like, I did kind of see this coming. I didn't think it'd be that bad right away. I felt like it might be cursed. I didn't think it'd actually be, like, a demon chasing you to get their rose back. I didn't think the consequence would be so immediate, to be fair. The man replied, "Wow, he's actually arguing his point. Please, let me keep the rose. I'm supposed to bring it to my daughter. She is the most beautiful maiden in the world. If you like. But in exchange, I want you to give me your beautiful daughter as my wife." Okay. I need an intermission for this really quick. I need to take a drink really quick for this. Because this dad, I swear, any dad who's like, "You're my favorite child," something terrible is going to happen to you. It's kind of like to be the favorite child of any parent in a fairy tale. It's like being a superhero's significant other. Something bad is going to happen to you. It's not your fault. That's just part of your job. So, bad things were going to happen to her, but these fathers lately in these fairy tales have been fucking up to like an enormous degree. I just needed to take a second before I continued. Just kind of let it settle in. So, your dad offers to get you something. You're like, hey, I like roses. You're thinking like, you know, I don't want to ask for something that costs a lot. I'm just going to tell him my favorite flower. You're fucking probably a kid. They're usually kids, so you're not really thinking. This dad, being the stupidest asshole in the world, doesn't ask you for something easier. He then decides it's necessary for you to get this thing that's impossible. So he tries to steal one from some hideous beast. And then says, but I need it for my daughter. And he's like, okay. But then you can have this stupid flower if I have your fucking daughter for my wife. And this fucking asshole says yes. If I'm the daughter, I'm kind of pissed off, you know? I asked for a rose not to be married to some inhuman beast man. Dad, that was not what I asked for. Can I take it back? Can I have the shoes instead? I don't want the forced marriage. This flower means nothing. It's dead in like 3 days. Give the guy the flower back. What the fuck, man? What the fuck, Dad? This is really... You know, Mom should have had custody. Can we just agree with to this? This was terrible. But okay. So this pussy-ass bitch of a dad... In order to get rid of the beast, the man said yes and thought he wouldn't come. I love when they have those misprints. And thought he wouldn't come and demand his daughter. But the beast yelled after him, I'm coming to fetch my bride in 1 week. I love how they give him a warning. That's my favorite thing. Like, in 1 week, I'm gonna get you, I'm gonna kill you, you have 1 week. Like, okay, I'm gonna leave. I mean, pre-COVID, now we're fucked, but before that. Plus, usually you can be like, okay, I'll give you what you want, but you have to go on a quest. And like, you give them some random-ass quest, and they'll just do it. They won't ever argue, they'll just follow the quest. And you'll have like years added on to your time. Why don't these people just do this? I've already learned the fairy tale rules, you know? But that's fine. Maybe they didn't read all their previous stories. They don't understand. Now the merchant brought each one of his daughters what she had wished. All of them were delighted, and the youngest daughter was the most pleased by the rose. I bet at that point he hadn't told her, like, hey, honey, sold you to a beast man for this. Probably wouldn't be a little, like, wouldn't be as pleased, you know. We should take the shine off the rose a little bit. The whole forced marriage thing. Gee, damn things. After a week had passed, the three sisters were sitting at the dinner table when he didn't even fucking try. Oh my god, he's the worst dad ever. He didn't even try to leave. He didn't warn her. Holy fuck, he didn't even warn her. Like, Jesus, Dad, okay, at least tell me. The beast man is coming for me in a week, you little pussy-ass bitch. You can't even admit that. You're just gonna let him come for me? You can't tell me so I can just run away? We can all fucking run away? You little piece of shit. Oh, what a terrible dad. Favorite daughter, my ass. Sorry, that gets me a little bit. What a little piece of shit. Pussy ass bitch. Terrible father. That's the only time that a dad should have, like, gone out for cigarettes and never come back is this guy right here. Oh my god. After a week had passed, the three sisters were sitting at the dinner table when all of a sudden someone with heavy footsteps came up the stairs and knocked at the door.
Open up! Open up!
He yelled.
So they opened the door, but they were truly horrified when a large black beast entered. Since my bride didn't come and the time is up, I've come to fetch her myself.
Upon saying that, he went up to the youngest daughter and grabbed her. She began to scream
But that didn't help at all. She had to go off with him, and when her father came home, he found that his dearest child had been kidnapped. Meanwhile, the black beast carried the beautiful maiden into his castle, which was quite wonderful and beautiful. There were musicians who had begun playing, and below was the garden that was half summer and half winter. And the beast did everything to make her feel comfortable. I wonder if he gave, like, good back massages. And one could read from her eyes how pleased she was. Wow, it sounds like she's having a good time. Probably better than that fucking time with that bitch-ass piece of shit dad. Maybe that's, like, the best thing that he ever did to her was, like, promise her off this beast of a person because he's actually, like, a good person. My lord, imagine. Imagine that he could be better than the person that would sell you for a rose out of his own fear. Oh my god. I don't want to sound ungrateful. Thank you for the fucking stolen flower, dad. But like, thankfully, the beast man was a good person. They ate together, and she had to ladle out the food for him, otherwise he wouldn't eat. The beast thought she was precious, and eventually she became very fond of the beast. Okay, I totally fucking stan. I love this fucking relationship. I ship them together. Like, the beast and this girl, I like them. That's so sweet. One day she said to him,
I've become very anxious, and I don't know why, but I feel as though my father were ill, or that perhaps one of my sisters is sick. Couldn't I see them just one time?
So the beast led her to a mirror and said,
look into the mirror.
And when she looked into the mirror, it was as if she were at home. She saw her room and her father,
who was really sick from heartbreak. That's okay.
Indeed, he felt guilty that a wild beast had kidnapped his daughter and had probably been devoured by him.
No, he was like a cool beast.
If he had known how well she was, he wouldn't have been so depressed. She also saw her two sisters at her father's bedside, and they were weeping. All this troubled her heart, and she asked the beast whether he might let her return home for several days.
Go to your father, but promise me that you'll return within a week.
She promised him, and as she was leaving, he called after her,
don't stay any longer than 1 week.
He's really got a thing for a week.
When she returned home, her father rejoiced that he was able to see her one more time, but the illness and the sorrow had eaten away at his heart too much. Consequently, he couldn't regain his health and died after a couple of days. So his daughter couldn't think of anything else due to her grief, and before her father was buried, she went to his corpse and wept with her sisters. And they consoled each other. You know, this story, kind of dark. Finally, when she thought about her dear beast once again, and she felt as if he were also sick, she immediately set out and went directly to his castle. When she arrived there once again, the castle was completely silent and sad. The musicians weren't playing, and everything was draped in black. The garden was now completely winter and covered by snow, and when she went to look for the beast, he was gone. She searched all over the place, but couldn't find him. Now she was doubly distressed and didn't know how to console herself. Sadly, she went into the garden and saw a heap of cabbage heads, as one does. The ones at the top were already old and rotten. She spread them around, and when she had turned over a few, she saw her dear beast, who had been lying under them, and he was dead. Quickly, she fetched some water and continually poured water onto him. All of a sudden, he jumped up and was suddenly changed into a handsome prince for whatever fucking reason, I don't know.
A wedding was held.
Hold on, I got this. Apparently, if you're dead, pouring a bunch of water on you will revive you and suddenly turn you from a beast to a handsome prince. Water was the cure all along. A wedding was held. And the musicians immediately began playing. When? Like, right now, or when the wedding was held?
A wedding was held, and the musicians immediately began playing. Okay. I'm going to stop thinking about this. I'm too high to understand this. The summer side of the garden became splendid again. The black drapes were torn down, and they lived happily ever after. Okay, thoughts? Who buried him under the cabbage heads is a question. Did he, like, lay down there and die under the cabbages? What killed him? Was it suicide? Did he suicide under cabbage heads? Like, were they rotten before or after? And why did rehydrating him bring him back to life? How dead was he? Like, and if he just was, like, just dead, it's where he could have just been, like, unconscious and the water woke him up and he turned into a prince also. I don't know why. I don't know what curse that was. Just add water. Your beast is an insta-prince. I don't know how that worked. He just needed to drink some water. Fucking hydro, homies, buddy. Just fucking hydrate, bitch. Like, what the hell? Okay, I understand this. You know, it was like the beginning of Beauty and the Beast, but this is the way fucking worse, weird-ass version. Could you imagine if the only thing, like, Belle just had to pour water on the dead beast and he turned into a prince and it's like, what? That was it? Like, he just needed a fucking, like, shower? That was all it took. It's like, to break the curse, I have to be continually poured on water over me for 5 minutes. That's a long time. Most people don't want to do that. The curse will never be broken. Because 5 minutes is too long. Honestly. It's so stupid. Like, how much hair was on this guy? Like, why was it just... What was it held on with? Sweat? Was he just, like, covered in, like, rubber cement and he just wandered into, like, a barber's parlor? Just, like, rolled on the floor. The answer is yes. The answer is most definitely yes. Okay. That was a good one. By good, I mean it made no goddamn sense. So this next one I am not going to try to pronounce correctly because this makes me laugh more. It's Jorinda. And I want to pronounce this Joringel because it sounds like Origel or some kind of toothpaste product. So it's Jorinda and Joringel. It's also number 69. I'm a child, I know. Once upon a time, there was an old castle in the middle of a great, dense forest. An old woman lived there all by herself, and she was a powerful sorceress. During the day, she turned herself into a cat or a night owl, but in the evening she would return to her normal human form. She had the ability to lure game and birds, which she would slaughter and then cook or roast. Wow. Okay, are we learning her whole, like, morning routine now? Good for her. If any man came within 100 steps of the castle, she would cast a spell over him so that he wouldn't be able to move from the spot until she broke the spell. If an innocent maiden came within her magic circle, she would change her into a bird and stuff her into a wicker basket. Then she would carry the basket up to a room in her castle where she had well over 7,000 baskets. With rare birds of this kind? You mean 7,000 dead birds? 7,000 baskets? Hell, you're not feeding all those birds. They're dead. 7,000 corpses! Murderer! Good God!
seventh. You can't keep a bird in a basket. That is not an acceptable bird. How big is this damn room? This is like a hoarder's house. This would be like on Hoarders. They'd go in. They'd be like, "What? What is this smell?" And they'd open the room, like baskets, and they'd be like, "With dead bird in each basket." And people, "What the fuck is this shit? Some satanistic ritual fucking sacrifice to Satan bullshit?" And she'd be like, "No, these are just my rare fair maidens. I turned them into birds, and I'm storing them in their baskets. Like, you have to feed them, ho. Birds don't live on fucking baskets." And well wishes, ho, feed the birds. Whatever, Jorinda and Joringel. There's a bunch of dead birds. In a big room full of dead birds. She's a hoarder of people. She killed them all as birds. Now, once there was a maiden named Jorinda who was more beautiful than any other maiden in the kingdom. She was betrothed to a handsome youth named Joringel. During the time before their marriage, they took great pleasure in each other's company by fucking. One day they went for a walk in the forest so they could be alone and talk intimately with one another. Talk, wink, 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 fuck. Yeah, that's what we thought.
"Be careful,"
Joringel said,
"that you don't go too close to the castle.
Or the girl on the..." Wait. Okay, sorry. I totally lost my place because I'm not like Joringel. Joringel would do better than this. "At dusk, the sun shone brightly through the tree trunks and cast its light on the dark green of the forest. The turtle doves were singing mournfully in the old beech trees. And at times, Jorinda wept." Why? I don't know. Period. I don't know. "Then she sat down in the sunshine and sighed. And Joringel sighed too. They became very sad, as if they were doomed to die." What is this shit? What? Why? "And when they looked around them, they became confused and didn't know how to get home." Oh, they're high. "The sun was still shining half above and half behind the mountains. When Joringel looked through the bushes and saw the wall of the old castle not very far away, he became so alarmed he was nearly frightened to death. While Jorinda sang, 'Oh, my bird, with your ring of red, sitting and singing your tale of woe, you tell us now that the poor dove is dead. You sing your tale of woe.'" Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Okay, that's some pretty lazy rhyming, but all right. "Just then, as Joringel looked at Jorinda, she was turned into a nightingale singing, 'Uh-oh! Uh-oh!' A night owl with glowing eyes flew around her three times, and each time it cried, 'Tuh-hoo! Tuh-hoo! Tuh-hoo!'" Joringel couldn't budge. He stood there like a stone, unable to weep, or talk, or to move hand or foot. When the sun was about to set, the owl flew into a bush, and immediately returned as a haggard old woman. Why not? Yellow and scrawny. Wait, yellow? How yellow? Like sallow? Like jaundiced? Or like Big Bird? Yellow sun. How yellow? Simpsons yellow? Or like... I want to know. I need to know. Yellow and scrawny. Jaundiced? Let's say jaundiced. "With large red eyes and a crooked nose that almost touched her chin with its tip." That's unfortunate. Okay. That's, sounds like a deformity. Shouldn't be so mean. She muttered something to herself, caught the nightingale, and carried it away in her hand. Joringel was still unable to speak, nor could he move from the spot. This is very terrifying. I really don't care, but it's better, okay. The nightingale was gone. Soon the woman came back and said with a muffled voice, "Greetings, Zachiel." I don't know what muffled is supposed to be here. Muffled by what? I don't know. I'll just use my hand. Fuck it.
"When the moon shines into the basket, let him loose, Zachiel, just at the right moment."
Then Jorin Jell was set free, and he fell on his knees before the woman and begged her to give Jorinda back to him. But she said he would never get her back again and went away. Jorin Jell shouted. He wept, he moaned, but it was all in vain. Oh, now what's to become of me? Jorin Jell went off and eventually came to a strange village where he had tended sheep for a long time. He often went around and around the castle and always kept his distance. Finally, he dreamed one night that he had found a flower as red as blood, and in the middle of it was a pearl. He plucked the flower and went with it to the castle. Everything that he touched with the flower was released from the magic spell. He also dreamed that he managed to regain his Jorinda with the flower. I don't fucking care. Hurry up and finish your story. This is boring. When he awoke the next morning, he began searching all over the mountains and valleys for the flower in his dream. He searched for 9 days, and early on the 9th day, he found a flower as red as blood. I mean, I kind of feel like if I was doing this shit, and I'm like, I had a dream about a flower as red as blood, and I'm like, oh shit, the store had one. Nothing's gonna happen. Searching where? I'm sorry, I guess in fairy tales it actually makes a difference, but for me, I'd be like, oh, a flower as red as blood. That doesn't seem that uncommon, you know? It's not like a key. It's a red flower. There's a lot of those, right? How do you know you got the right one? Is it any flower as red as blood? I'm confused. I don't know the rules. Oh, I'm getting odd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's just the name Jorin Jell is so boring. Okay. He searched for 9 days, and early on the 9th day, he found a flower as red as blood. In its middle was a large dewdrop as big as the finest pearl. He carried this flower day and night until he reached the castle. When he came to within 100 steps of the castle, he didn't become spellbound, but was able to get to the gate. Overjoyed by that, Jorin Jell touched the gate with the flower, and it sprang open. Okay. So he entered, crossed the courtyard, and listened for the sound of birds. Finally, he heard them and went to the room where the sorceress was feeding the birds in their 7,000 baskets. Wow, she does feed them. All right, that's nicer than I thought. Why keep them in baskets at that point? 7,000 of them? Sounds like a full-time job. When she saw Jorin Jell, she became angry. Very angry. She began berating him and spitting poison and gall at him. But she could only come within 2 feet of him, and he paid no attention to her. Instead, he went and examined the baskets with the birds. Since there were hundreds of nightingales, he didn't know how he'd be able to find Jorinda again. While he was examining the baskets, he noticed the old woman had stealthily picked up one of them and was heading toward the door. Quick as a flash, he ran over and touched the basket with the flower, and immediately thereafter he touched the old woman as well. Now she could no longer use her magic, and consequently Jorinda appeared before him. She threw her arms around his neck and was just as beautiful as before. After Jorin Jell had turned all the other birds into young women, he went home with his Jorinda, and they lived together in happiness for a long time. For a long time. Not happily ever after. Thoughts? Opinions? I have none. That story was boring. Alright. The next story is the also wonderfully titled Okurlo. Okurlo, Okurlo. What a good name. I'm just winging it. I'm not going to try to pronounce these. I refuse. The end. Let's keep going. A queen put her child out to sea in a golden cradle and let it float away. Wow. She put her child out to sea in a cradle and let it float away. So many questions. But let's see why. However, the cradle didn't sink but drifted to an island inhabited only by cannibals. Wow. I hope the baby isn't eaten alive. Let's continue. When the cradle drifted toward the shore, a cannibal's wife happened to be standing there. Upon seeing the child, wouldn't the cannibal's wife also be a cannibal if the island is inhabited only by cannibals? So wouldn't it just be a female cannibal? Like, not a cannibal's wife, but just a female cannibal. Like, that's stupid. Then it would her husband be a cannibal's husband? I mean, what's the point of that? Everybody's a cannibal. That, okay, whatever. What, you know, I'm done. I'm not gonna try. I'm not gonna try. Upon seeing the child, it was a beautiful baby girl. She decided to raise her and later give her to her son, who would wed her one day. Ew. I hope her son's a baby at this point, not like a grown-ass man. What the fuck? But she had a great deal of trouble hiding the maiden carefully from her husband. Old O'Curlo. Oh yeah, O'Curlo, that's the one I said. For if he laid her eyes on her, he would have eaten her up. Skin and bones. Fucking gross, though. Like, why? When the maiden had grown up, she was to be married to the young O'Curlo. But she couldn't stand him and cried all day long. Once, when she was sitting on the shore, a young handsome prince came swimming up to her. When it was clear they each took a liking to the other, they exchanged vows. Like, what, on the shore? Would they just be like, let's marry each other without a priest? I do. That's not how you do that. Was he just trying to have sex with her and be like, no, we'll marry first, wink, wink, like that? That's some fucking bullshit. That's not a thing. Okay. Maybe back then it was a thing. I don't know. They exchanged vows. Just then the old cannibal's wife came. Oh, now he's the old cannibal's wife, because time has passed. And she got tremendously angry at finding the prince with her son's bride. So she grabbed hold of him and said, "Just wait. We'll roast you at my son's wedding." It'd be really funny if it was, like, jokes, though. Like, I'd be totally turning the expectation. The young prince, the maiden, and O'Curlo's three children had to sleep together in one room. When night came, old O'Curlo began craving human flesh and said, "Wife, I don't feel like waiting until the wedding. I want the prince right now." However, the maiden had heard everything through the wall. They have some really, really poor construction here. And she got up quickly, took off the golden crown from one of O'Curlo's children and put it on the prince's head. When the old cannibal's wife came in, it was dark, so she had to feel their heads. Took the boy who wasn't wearing a crown and brought him to her husband, who immediately devoured him. It's just like that other story, but also, like, you really don't recognize your own kid when you're eating them. Maybe you shouldn't, eat so quickly. I mean, you're a cannibal, but you're, like, human-sized, right? Like, you must be human-sized because you thought that prince was the size of your fucking kid. So, how do you eat the entire person without noticing what they look like? Are you eating in the dark? Are they not? Was your son not talking like, "Hey, Dad, it's me, don't eat me"? I'm confused about how this little switcheroo is even possible. Unless they're not human size, in which case, like, how would you... Whatever. Okay, I already said I wasn't going to try to reason this, and I failed already. Old O'Curlo has fucked me up. Anyway, these people are... They never double-check who you're killing. I feel like that's the biggest story I'm getting from this. Double-check who you're murdering, please. Please double-check, please. Okay. Meanwhile, the maiden became terribly frightened, for she thought, "As soon as day breaks, everything will be revealed, and we'll be in for trouble." So she got up quickly and quietly and fetched 7-mile boots, a magic wand, and a cake with a bean that provided answers for everything. What? A cake with a bean that provided answers for everything. If that is not the biggest load of plot bullshit that I have ever fucking heard in my life, a bean that provides answers for everything... Okay. Wow, I really hope she succeeds. She's gonna have such a hard time with all these obstacles against her. It's fucking bullshit. After that, she departed with the prince. They were wearing the 7-mile boots, and with each step they took, they went a mile. Sometimes they asked the bean, "Bean, are you there?"
"Yes,"
the bean said.
"I'm here, but you better hurry. The old cannibal's wife is coming after you and some other 7-mile boots that were left behind."
The maiden took the magic wand and turned herself into a swan and the prince into a pond for the swan to swim in. Like, why? Why not do anything else? Anything other than that? What? I'm still trying to argue this. Nope. Okay. I'm doing this. I'm going to continue. I'm going to keep going. The cannibal's wife came and tried to lure the swan to the bank, but she didn't succeed and went home in a bad mood. The maiden and the prince continued on their way. "Bean, are you there?"
"Yes,"
the bean said.
"I'm here, but the old woman's coming again. The cannibal explained to her how you duped her."
The princess took the wand and changed herself and the prince into a cloud of dust. Okay, so what part of you gets sucked up into someone's lungs? How much of you has to be left to make you, you? How much of you is gone? That's a horrible idea. Okay. Okurlo's wife couldn't penetrate it. And again had to return empty-handed, while the maiden and the prince continued on their way. "Bean, are you there?"
"Yes, I'm here, but I see Okurlo's wife coming once more, and she's taking tremendous steps."
The maiden took the magic wand for the third time and turned herself into a rosebush and the prince into a bee. The old cannibal's wife came and didn't recognize them because of their changed forms. Why didn't she... Okay, so she recognized them as clouds of dust, but not as a rosebush and a bee. But as a swan in a lake, but not as a rosebush in a beet. Why? Does anyone know? Am I crazy for not understanding this? Okay. This one she doesn't get, because apparently they always do the same old tricks, and this one she's like, a rosebush? Why, that could get you married with 12 beasts. There's so many roses on this bush. I don't fucking understand why. So she went home, because that was... Alright. But now the maiden and the prince couldn't regain their human forms, because the maiden, in her fear, had thrown the magic wand too far away. Why did you throw it away at all? Yet their journey had taken them such a long distance that the rosebush now stood in a garden that belonged to the maiden's mother. The bee sat on a rose, and he would sting anyone who tried to pluck it. But that would have killed him. That would have killed him. If he'd stung anyone, it would have killed them. So he's either not a bee, or he didn't actually sting people. But he's a magical bee, right? Why am I trying to make sense of this? Okay. One day, the queen herself happened to be walking in the garden and saw the beautiful flower. She was so amazed by it that she wanted to pluck it, but the little bee came and stung her hand so hard that she had to let go of the rose. Yet she managed to rip the flower a little, and suddenly she saw blood gushing from the stem. Ew. Then she summoned a fairy to break the enchantment of the flower and the bee, and the queen then recognized her daughter again and was very happy and delighted. You abandoned your kid, bitch. How would you even recognize her, first of all? You abandoned her as a baby to the... So she landed on an island full of cannibals. You shouldn't be welcomed. You're horrible. Okay, whatever. Very happy and delighted that the baby she sent to her death somehow survived. Now a great wedding was held, and a large number of guests were invited. They came in magnificent array, while thousands of candles flickered in the hall. Music was played, and everyone danced until dawn. Were you also at the wedding?
Of course I was there. My hairdo was made of butter. And as I was exposed, the sun had melted and was muddled. My dress was made from a spider's web. And as I went through some thorn bushes, they ripped it off my body. My slippers were made of glass, and as I stepped on a stone, they broke in two. What? Okay. I'm just ignoring that. How long has this been going? I can do one more, but... Yeah, I'm gonna do one more. This is pretty short.
Okay. This is really, really, for real, real, the one last story we will be reading. This one was pretty short. It has a very beautiful and promising title. I hope you're all very excited for this one, as am I. Princess Mouse Skin. Mouse Skin. Does she she skin mice? Let's find out. I'm hoping so. A king had three daughters, and he wanted to know which one loved him the most. Oh, I hope it's some kind of fucked up, like, weird plot where he, like, has them fight each other in an arena or something to prove their love. In the most, like, fucked up way, like, the most Old Testament God-style way. Prove your devotion to me, like, you know? What the fuck, man? You want to know which one loves you the most? I don't fucking know. Which one treats you the best? Like, Jesus. All right, let's see. What do you think? Anyone? Place your bets now what you think this king is going to do to figure out which one of his daughters love him the most. I give you a little bit of time now. Think about it. Place your bets. I know this is terrible, but it's like, it's royalty free. All right, cool. So now you have your time. Let's find out what happens now. Let's see how right you were. So he summoned them to him and began asking. The oldest daughter said she loved him more than the whole kingdom. The second said she loved him more than all the jewels and pearls in the world. But the third said she loved him more than salt. The king was furious that she compared her love for him for such a meager thing. Consequently, he handed her over to his servant. Holy shit, and ordered him to take her into the forest and kill her. That's very Old Testament. What the fuck? Wow, thanks, Dad. Jeez. When they reached the forest, the princess begged the servant to spare her life. Since he was devoted to her, he wouldn't have killed her anyway. Indeed, he said he would go with her and do her bidding. But the princess demanded nothing except a garment made of mouse skin. How big are you? How many mice do you require for a mouse skin garment? Let's say a cloak. How many mice? How big? That's a lot of mice. I think, like, 100 mice? That's a lot of mice, man. That should take a long time. Mouse skin? Kind of... I don't know. It's kind of impressive and also horrifying. Kind of horrifying. When he fetched it for her, she wrapped herself in the skin and went straight to a neighboring kingdom. Once there, she pretended to be a man and asked the king to employ her. The king consented, and she was to be his personal servant. You know, I would consider maybe do a little more, like, background check there. Just letting any old mouse skin covered woman walk in off the street pretending to be a man and letting the king have that as his personal servant. Like, you didn't even check the gender. Oh my god. In the evening, whenever she pulled off his boots, he always tossed them at her head. Oh, it's like that last one, that fucking prick. At least this one wasn't his fiance this time. One time he asked her where she came from. From the country where one doesn't toss boots at people's heads. Her remark made the king suspicious. Hey, she's got sass.
Finally, the other servants brought him a ring that Mousekin had lost. It was so precious that they thought she had stolen it. The king called Mousekin to him and asked how she had obtained the ring. Mousekin could no longer conceal her true identity. She unwrapped the Mousekin, and her golden hair streamed down. As she stepped out of the skin, he could see she was beautiful.
Oh, see, this one's not the weird racist one. I see. Okay, so this is like when they realize the incest and the racism angle was fucked. And so they're like, just make her like a man. Okay, I get it. I like how they kind of PC'd it up over time. And she was so beautiful that he immediately took off his crown, put it on her head, and declared her to be his wife. Wow, is that how that works? Like, what if she wasn't interested, dude? You threw boots at her head. I don't think that's cool. Let her have a choice, but whatever. Back in that time, no choice, especially if you're a woman. When the wedding was celebrated, Mousekin's father was also invited to attend. He believed that his daughter had died a long time ago and didn't recognize her. However, at the dinner table, all the dishes put before him were insulted, and he became irritated and said, "I'd rather die than eat such food." No sooner had he uttered those words than the queen said to him, "Well, now you say you can't live without salt, but when I said I loved you more than salt, you wanted to have me killed." All at once he recognized his daughter, kissed her, and begged her forgiveness. Now that he'd found her again, she was more dear to him than his kingdom and all the jewels in the world. No, fuck you, you dick asshole dad, fuck you piece of shit. You tried to have me killed because I said that I fucking loved you more than salt, and you were pissy. Whereas salt is fucking vital. If you don't have any salt, you will die. So she loves you more than something that is vital to life itself, you withered old dickbag. Oh my god. Oh my god. You were so stupid. He did not deserve her forgiveness. He tried to have her killed. Oh my fucking god, fuck that guy. That's my fucking opinion. You could forgive this king all you want. I think the guy's an asshole and should be deprived of salt for the rest of his miserable existence until he eventually dies of electrolyte imbalance. That's what I think. Anyway, other than that rant, I had a really good time. I hope you guys did too. I hope you had a blast as usual. I did. I mean, I'd say I did even if I didn't, but like for real, I actually did. I really enjoy these like every time. Sometimes it's the highlight of my week. This time it definitely was. I know. And my week was that bad. Hopefully yours is better. Hopefully it's going better. It's Wednesday. That's always great. And hopefully I will see you back here next week. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you later. Mwah. Bye.